Again, we reiterate those that are visiting, we're especially glad to have you with us, and we encourage you to follow along as we study from God's Word. It's always good to be able to get together as Christians to sing and to pray and to study for a few minutes and learn some things that God would have us to do, that we may grow, that we may continue to serve God faithfully and encourage one another. As was said in the prayer by Brother W.A., there are so many of our number that are having health problems and things that we need to be praying for. A sister just fell this week at home, and to remember her and check on her and others. Sister Hunt that lives on the southwest part of the county, a member of the Body of Christ for many years, and her family found out this week she has some serious health problems, and they don't know the answers yet. But you know, families like that need prayer, and they need encouragement. And we continue to encourage one another the best we can. And a word of encouragement, a phone call, just to how you doing, or is there something I can do to help you? Just to let people know that we're thinking about them sometimes is a boost just in itself. This evening, turn to Romans chapter 12, if you will, and let's read just a few verses. We'll read verses beginning in verse 1 and read through verse 8. Of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 beginning verse 9. We're going to begin at verse 9 instead of end at verse 8. Romans chapter 12 verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's reading Romans chapter 12 verses 9 through 18. We'll look at a few things in these verses, and there's a number of things that we're told that we need to be doing, some things that we ought to have in our life to show that we are certainly serving God, some things we need to continue in as Christians, some things that we need to be putting off. But this evening I want to look at a few points from these verses in regard to my attitude toward other people. As a Christian, it becomes a wider scope for us when we are baptized into Christ. Before we're baptized into Christ, it may be that we don't realize or don't have the concern we should for other people. But as a Christian, we need to understand that serving God involves serving others and helping others. And our attitude toward other people is very important. Let's look at some of the things that are taught in these few verses, beginning in verse 9, in regard to how you ought to think and I ought to think toward other people. Now, when you read these verses, you'll see that many of these applications in these verses apply to generally people that we're around. But a couple of them are going to be specifically pointed toward brothers and sisters in Christ. The attitude that I need to have toward you and that you ought to have toward me. So the Scriptures teach in these verses, in verses 9 and 10, that we ought to have love for one another. And you may be thinking, well, Charles, this is something that we cover almost every time you get in the pulpit. This is something we study so often in class. Well, really, when you think about the Bible, it is a book of love. It is a book of love about God's love for mankind, His Son's love for us, and the fact that when His Son came to this earth, He showed His love for mankind, not only by giving His life, but by the way He dealt with people, the way He confronted people, the way He talked with people, the way He demonstrated in action the way you should live before people. He demonstrated His love. So love for others is very important. We're going to answer for that in the Day of Judgment. Our attitude toward other people and our actions toward them. And so without love, as we read in 1 Corinthians 13, we are nothing. You know, we may be able to do many wonderful things. We may be able to do certain things physically. We may be able to perform many great acts in life. But without love, the Apostle Paul says, it profits me nothing. So in Romans 12, verses 9 and 10, let's notice the fact that we ought to have the proper love for one another. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. So when we start with that verse, we understand that the love that I should have for you should be a pure love. It should be a sincere love. It should be a love from the heart. It should be a love that I have for my brothers and sisters in Christ and for the people around me because of the fact that I'm taught to love other people. And so it's not something that we are to put on a show about. It's not something that we are to make a scene about, but it's something that comes from the heart. True love then comes from the inward man or the inward woman, and then it's reflected in the way we act toward other people, the words we say to them, the tone of voice we use around them, the very things that we do for those people. It's either reflected out of love or out of hate, or out of unconcern, or out of concern. So the love we have should be a pure love. Let love be without hypocrisy. And he says, cling to what is good. In verse 10 he says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So love for one another is important. And the brotherly love that we're to have with one another in the church is a family love. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we've been purchased with the blood of the Lord from our sins. And so we're in the family of God, so we love each other as what? As brothers and sisters in Christ. We are God's family on this earth. And certainly, we know that it's a natural thing for people to love their physical relatives. The mother and dad love their children. Their children love their parents. But the love within the family of God comes from the heart, in the aspect that we love each other in the spiritual aspect, and we show it then. Be kindly affectionate to one another. So the love we're to have is very important. The Bible teaches time and again, and we won't look at all these verses tonight, but in numerous places, the Bible talks about love. John 13, in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we're admonished to love our brethren. When you read the gospel and you see what Jesus told his disciples and the teaching of love, love the brethren. Hebrews 13 and verse 1, we're admonished to let what? Let brotherly love continue. It's something that's not done and then we stop doing it. It's not something we do some of the time, but it's love ought to be flowing from our life toward others at all times. Let brotherly love continue. Also, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 21 through 23 illustrates the fact that as a Christian, there ought to be love in our life for other people. The love we ought to have for others. And then 1 John chapter 2. Verses 9 through 11. Again, the emphasis is that we ought to love others. You know, how can we love God if we don't love, how can we love God if we don't love those who we are able to see here on this earth? So, we can't love God if we don't love our brother. And so, if we love God, we will love our brother. So, it's emphasized then that love is something that's very important in our life. And so, we exercise that love through our actions. Let's look to 1 John chapter 3 and read just a few verses there. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 17, I believe it is. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. He says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So, the love that we're to have toward other people, we already noted, is to be a sincere love, is to be a pure love, and we're to love then in deed, and we're to love in truth. And so, loving other people is important. What's your attitude toward others when it comes to love? Do we manifest the proper love toward our brothers and sisters in Christ and to others around us? Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, secondly tonight, we see that our attitude toward other people should be that we are willing to help others and show hospitality to them. Look at the verse, Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. He says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. When you read that verse, you see there's the attitude that we ought to have toward others, that we're willing to help others. It says, distributing to the needs of the saints. Sometimes there are those in the family of God who need help, and it may be a situation where they're not needy saints or they are not with us indeed, but they need some help. Sometimes there are men and women who run into a rough stretch of miles in their life. Something happens. It may be physical. It may be financial. It may be something in the area of a spiritual letdown they've had. And so our love then ought to be toward those people in the aspect of verse 13, that we would help those people. Help can come in the form of spiritual help, encouragement, teaching, admonishing. But in this term, we're talking about helping those who have needs of maybe a physical or material nature. Maybe they have issues with their life they need help with. So our attitude should be that we are ready to help others, help them every way we can. And if you look then at verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, and then what's the given to hospitality. So the attitude is that we would be people that would be able to approach others and help them, offer help to them in their need when we recognize it. We would be able then to be hospitable to others, and that we would be a welcoming force to them, that they wouldn't be afraid to approach us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you ever known someone that you didn't know how to approach them? You'd be afraid to approach them to ask for help because you wouldn't know what kind of reaction you may get from them? You know, if we're Christians and we're serving God, I shouldn't be afraid to approach any of you who are my brothers and sisters in Christ if I need help. And you shouldn't be afraid to approach me. Because if we have that right attitude and we show hospitality toward others, then we have a welcoming force with us that invites them to know that they are welcome to come and talk to us. They are welcome to ask of us if they have needs. Matter of fact, this hospitality is for showing hospitality. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If a man wants to serve as an elder in the Lord's church, that's one of the requirements, that he's hospitable. Shows hospitality in his life. So Christians then are people who show hospitality. They care about other people, in that we're willing to help those who have need. Helping those who have need. And as we've talked about this a few times over the years, there have been times, even in this congregation, several years ago, there was a couple came here for a while, and they were financially poor. They needed some help. And some of the brethren here were willing to help them out in regard of what was their needs. Maybe a temporary need, maybe temporary help. And maybe it wasn't to the point that the church could help them out of the Lord's money, but brethren would help. And so oftentimes it is that when we do things as individual Christians as we ought to, then Paul explains that in regard to widows indeed and others that the Lord allows the church to help when they meet those specifications, that what he says is that as Christians there are things we can do for other people and help them so the church be not burdened. And so here's the attitude toward others, being willing to help others and show hospitality toward others. Thirdly, in Romans chapter 12, we see that our attitude toward others should be that we are willing to rejoice with them and weep with them and have empathy for them. So there's three things about this verse. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 and read that. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. What Paul is saying to Christians is that our attitude toward other people is that, yes, there's a time to rejoice, as we've been studying about Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. There are things in life we ought to enjoy, and there's a time to rejoice. There's a time to rejoice with others. For instance, one of the greatest and most important times to rejoice with others is when someone is baptized into Christ. A man and a woman has a son that's 12 or 13 years old, or a daughter that's 12 or 13 years old, and they're baptized into Christ. We rejoice with them. The angels in heaven rejoice. It may be a time to rejoice when a young man and a young lady, they choose each other to be husband and wife for life. And so we go and we rejoice with them in their ceremony and their vows together for life. Rejoice with them in their marriage. Or a child is born into a family and we rejoice over that child with that family. They're things of joy. So our attitude toward other people is that, yes, we ought to rejoice with people when things are going on that make us happy, but at the same time, we shouldn't turn and run, cut and run when things are difficult and there's a time for weeping. They say times have changed, people change, but really, the customs of people change. That's what happens. Some of you can remember when there was a death in a family in a rural community in Coleman County. The one who passed away would be, the undertaker would come out and perhaps they'd prepare the body there the best they could, or they'd take it in, they'd bring it back out, and it would remain in that home. And neighbors would come in and they would see it that day and that night and the next day and perhaps the next night into the next day if they were waiting on family members to get there for the funeral. But that family was never left alone. Food was brought in. People were there. They would take time off of work. They would leave their crops and their plowing to come and sit in shifts. What they were doing was weeping with those who weep. Weeping with those who weep. I remember there's a man in the community where I was growing up. He became very sick. He was in the bed. He couldn't work. Head of the household. He had several children and they had a crop in the field. His wife was trying to take care of him. And my dad and the other men in that community, they went to that man's home. And they took care of his livestock. They milked their cows and fed their horses. And the family came in and worked out their crops and plowed their fields. The man lay sick. What was that? That's people with the attitude of this man is up here and he can't provide for his family and his children are not old enough to take care of it and his wife's having to take care of him. We're going to help him. That's a good attitude. That's an attitude of sacrifice. That's an attitude of love. That's an attitude of caring about other people. And when you think about empathy, that simply means compassion, as you know. Do we have empathy toward other people? Do we have compassion toward other people? Do we show compassion toward others? When you think about empathy or compassion, as some would refer to it, it's a distinguishing characteristic of Jesus, the Son of God, and His ministry. Numerous places, including Mark chapter 9 and verse 36, it says that Jesus, when He saw the multitudes, what did He do? He had compassion. Had compassion. So Jesus set the example of the attitude we ought to have toward other people when they have needs. That we ought to be willing to weep with them or rejoice with them or help them any way we can, that we would have compassion on those people to help them to get through and get out of their problems. Empathy, care, compassion. There's a lot of ways we can show compassion toward others. We can pray for others. We can go and talk to others. We can say kind words to others. We can tirelessly work to try to help others. We can compassionately share their burdens, whether it be spiritual or physical. Matter of fact, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such to one the spirit of meekness, consider your own self, lest you also be tempted." So when we have compassion, when we have empathy toward others, those that may be weak in the spirit, those who may have gone into error, we go with compassion trying to bring them back. Trying to bring them back up. And he goes on down through that talking about bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I know each one of us has to bear our own burden, but we can help and be there with others while they're bearing a burden. And that's the idea then of rejoicing with those who rejoice in the good times and weeping with those who weep in the bad times, we're there for them. Well, Romans 12 and verse 16, a fourth point this evening is that we need to make every effort we can, our attitude toward each other in the church, that we try to have the same mind toward our brothers and sisters in the Lord. we have the right attitude toward each other. Look at verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. And he goes on and talks about our mind and our association and being humble and keeping our attitude right toward ourselves. But let's talk about this for just a minute. When we think about the attitude of endeavoring to be of the same mind, with our brethren, Romans 12:16. Unity in the eyes of God is a beautiful thing, according to what the psalmist said in Psalms 133:1. If anyone should be able to get along and be of the same mind and have the right attitude toward one another, it ought to be brethren in Christ. It's not surprising when you look at the Bible then, when you read and you see that dissension between God's people is condemned in numerous places. Proverbs 6, dissension is condemned. Proverbs 10, Proverbs 17:14. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Dissension among God's people is condemned. There ought to be the right attitude toward each other. So what's your attitude toward others in regard of being of the same mind, having the same mind toward one another? We've got the same goal, that is to get to heaven, so our minds ought to be together in the fact that we've got the same outlook in mind toward the Word of God. We have a thus saith the Lord. We're all striving to obey it and stay within the bounds of what God teaches. We have the same attitude and mind toward each other. So, striving to have the same mind. The word translated endeavor, you know, endeavoring to have the same mind. The word translated endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit means that we are making every effort we can to be of the same mind. We're endeavoring. We're putting forth effort. We're fighting against the idea of the things that come at us that might cause dissension or problems or quarrels, but it's an endeavor to be of the same mind toward each other. And I'll tell you, when you look back even in my lifetime and you see some of the dissension that's happened in some congregations that I'm aware of in the last 40 or 50 years where brethren just split. A third of a congregation would leave, a fourth of a congregation would leave, or they would split almost down the middle over brethren who just couldn't be of the same mind. They just didn't have the right attitude toward one another. They didn't have the same attitude toward one another. And some of that arose out of the fact of those men who were elders. They couldn't get along with each other. They didn't have the right attitude toward each other. So endeavoring to be of the same mind, endeavoring to try to have peace in the church. So let's look at these verses we've discussed so far in our lesson this morning. Back up to point this evening. Back up to point number one there in Romans 12:9-10. One thing that I need to have on my attitude toward you is that I need to have love towards you. Look at verses 9 and 10 again. Let love be without hypocrisy. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Point number two. Help others and show hospitality toward them. Look at verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Brothers and sisters in Christ have needs. We ought to be willing to try to identify those needs. And if I can help a brother or sister and I have the power to do it and the ability to do it, I not only should be willing to do it, but I should do it. And so, that attitude and showing hospitality then, being a welcoming force in that when people see you and they know you and they know me as a Christian, they know that we are what? Approachable. They're not afraid to approach us because we're trying to be Christ-like, that they can talk to us. Thirdly, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Have compassion for others. Have care for those who have problems, whether it be spiritual, physical, whatever it is. Sickness, problems, and there's a lot of compassion in this congregation. I can see it. Because I see it by your actions, by the way you treat each other, and by the prayers that are prayed. But I'm afraid sometimes I don't show it enough myself. In my heart, I have compassion for people, but I don't show it like I ought to. So maybe I need to work on my attitude so that compassion that I think I feel really goes out and it turns itself into action where I actually do something for somebody. Actually do something. And then endeavoring to be of the same mind toward one another in the church. Working toward having the right attitude. I'm going to tell you, brethren, among the 12 apostles, look at all the 12 personalities. Did they not have questions among themselves? Did they not have some that perhaps wanted a better, higher place than others? Did they not have some that had a different attitude of others? Even the 12, when it came to individuality, they were not always of the same mind. But when he came then to preaching the gospel and teaching what Christ told them to teach, and when the Holy Spirit came upon them and was revealed to them what to do, they were the same mind. We're going to teach the truth. We're going to preach the gospel. And we're not going to be afraid of man. We're going to obey God rather than man. They were united in their attitude toward obeying God and serving Him. Well, Romans 12 and verse 18 tells us that our attitude toward one another and our relationship with people, this could be in the home, it could be in the community, or it could be in the church. We need to try to live in peace with each other. Romans 12 and verse 18, he says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, one version says, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. We know that it's harder to live peaceably with some people than it is with others. We also know that there are some people in the world who have the attitude that no matter what you do and how hard you try, it's going to be almost impossible to live peaceably with them. Look at the wars and the dissension around the world, the countries that are fighting with each other, the people that fuss and fight. And look at families that can't get along. But how does that happen? If we're going to live at peace with one another, as much as we can bring up the ability within us by obeying God and doing His will, it's another endeavor. It's an effort. It's an effort to have peace. It's an effort to find peace, and it's an effort to keep peace. So God is saying that as much as life in you as a child of God, our attitude toward others, attitude with situations ought to be that we have first and foremost a mind of peace if it be possible. Sometimes it may be we have to shake the dust off our feet and move on like Paul did. Because there are hard-hearted people in the world that you won't ever be able to get along with. That's just going to be reality. But our part is that we can have the right kind of love. We can help others the best we can and be hospitable to them. We can rejoice with them, weep with them. Try to be of the same mind and work for peace. Just a few thoughts in closing. It may take us about 5 minutes or 10 to close, but we're going to close now. We're going to move from these verses that I just reviewed. I've already reviewed this part of the slide about several things are taught here in regard to our attitude and our actions toward other people. And we need to apply those things to our life. But let's make a couple of other applications that agree with what we've just read in Romans chapter 12. Beginning of verse 9 there and going through verse 18. Jesus teaches, and He taught in His life, and He taught as He sat teaching the multitudes and as He sat teaching His followers. He taught that there's a really good thing that we ought to do. That is that there's a rule that will be applied in the right way can help a lot of us, can help everyone. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. When we back up a little bit to Romans 12 there, verses 9 through 18 that we read, and who wouldn't want someone to love them? Who is the person that would not want someone to help them if they had need or be hospitable to them? Who is the person that wouldn't want someone to weep with them if they were weeping? Who's the person that wouldn't want someone to try to find peace and get along with one another if possible? What Jesus is saying is, if we want these things, we need to show it to other people. If I want these things from you, then I certainly need to show them to you. If I expect them in my life, I need to expect them to come out of my life toward others. And Jesus is saying is that whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And what Paul said in Romans 12 there, verses 9 through 18, is that these are things that God wants us to do toward those around us. This is the attitude He wants us to have toward those around us. This is the things that will help us get along and have peace and help each other who are around us, even in the church. Well, let's go to Luke chapter 10 and tie in just a few thoughts in regard to what we've looked at in Romans chapter 12. Luke chapter 10, beginning of verse 25, a very familiar passage where Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan. He teaches in this setting the necessity of having the proper attitude and actions toward other people. Verse 25 of Luke 10, he says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now keep that thought in mind as we read the rest of these verses. "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is the reading in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Remember that last part of that. Because loving God, first and foremost, with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind is very important. And what goes along with it? What we've been talking about tonight. Loving others. And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you shall live." But wanting to justify himself, he said, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side." Let's read those two verses again. The priest came down the road, and what did he do? Passed on the other side of the road. I don't think that man was very hospitable, do you? I don't think he was very compassionate, do you? His action shows that he was neither hospitable or compassionate. Neither did he have the love he should have. Neither did he have the love he should have. Sometimes I think that maybe we don't know when to do something and when not to. And have you ever been caught in a situation where someone asks you for something and you really didn't know what to do right then, and you're in the back of your mind, you say, "I don't need to do this," but then you walk off a little ways and you think about it and you go back and you do what your heart feels like the right thing to do sometimes. Because when you really think about it, you have time to examine what the person said to you, and you say, "Well, what's it going to hurt anyway?" The other day, my daughter was with me and my wife, and we were going to the end of this place to eat. Jason was with us, and we walked by, and it was a nice place, and everything, the parking lot was a safe atmosphere. We go in, and we go up, we're walking down this long place there to get, and there's this man sitting on a bench, about as far from here to that corner, from the door of the restaurant. People were passing him by, and we walked by. And so I was the last in line. So when we all got by, he said, "Sir, I'm going to eat in that restaurant one day." "I'm going to have a meal in that restaurant one day when I get the money." And I said, "Okay." And I walked on off. He said, "If the Lord blesses me, I'll eat there one day." So what do? Do you go back out the door? Sure you do. Anybody in here would, I think. And once you've done it, you don't know what the man's going to do with that money. But I tell you what, it might bother me if that man was hungry, if I had $5 to give him and I didn't. I know, Barry, we got to be careful about giving the money away, about what we have, and be careful about what we do with it. But the same, you see what I thought, see my thought in this here? Things happen to us sometimes in life. And I'm sure you've all been in that situation several times. But what he says here is that he passed by on the other side of the road. You know, and sometimes you go by somebody, "Sir, can you, I need some money. I'd like to eat here." And you watch the reaction of some people. They get as far away from that man as they can, and they'll make a circle around three or four posts to get around him so they don't have to even talk to him. That happens. You look and see if it doesn't happen. And likewise, a Levite did the same thing and passed by on the other side of the road. But a Samaritan came by, and when he saw the man, we talked about Jesus and his compassion. We talked about compassion and empathy in Romans 12. But a certain Samaritan, verse 33, when he came by, he saw him and he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, we think about what this man did, the Samaritan did. It may be that the only thing I could do, James, would be able to kind of help him up and prop his foot, his head up, and try to bandage him up and go get some help. That might be all I can do. Because I might not have the money or the means to carry him but get him some help. But this man helped him, took him to the place and said, now, take care of him. And when I come again, whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you. There are people in the world who are set financially, or they have enough to where they could do that if they wanted to. The key is wanting to, I believe. But let's look at the rest of this. So which of these three, verses 36 and 37, we're going to have our concluding thoughts. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said to him, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. What we've just read in Luke 10 and what Jesus said in Matthew 7:12 tie in with Romans 12, 9 through 18 and what's told us to do there in regard with our attitude toward other people and our actions toward other people. I don't believe we can live. I know I don't believe. I know. The Word of God teaches me, and it teaches you if we'll read it, that we cannot live the Christian life and be faithful unless we treat other people the way they ought to be treated, to the best of our ability. Because serving God involves serving other people. It certainly does. Hope the lesson will encourage each and every one of us tonight to look at our own self and say, am I doing all that I can to be the kind of person God wants me to be in service toward others and in our service toward God? If we love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, then we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. Let us do what God asks us to do as Christians and set the good example. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, why not believe this evening that Jesus came and lived and died on the cross for your sins and was raised again the third day? Be willing to confess that and repent and be baptized, and you can leave this building a child of God. Perhaps it may be that you're here and there's something you need help with that we can pray with you for and help you in that regard. And if that's the case, then don't leave the building without taking an opportunity to do that. And God will bless you if you come to Him in the right way and ask for help. If you need to respond, please do so while we stand and while we sing.